All right, well, we're here so with Frank today. Can you introduce yourself, Frank?
Yes, I am Frank Walker. Not really important. People think that I am, but I'm not really important. So I am with the Cubs. Been there since I was 16 years old, back in '94. It's 2024. So how many years is that? I don't know,
A lot.
but I'm excited to have you on our podcast feed with the rest of our show. So
Very excited
this is
about
cool.
that.
I'm excited to be a guest. Not to do any work. I can just sit back and talk.
Yeah, and that was actually one of my questions for you, Frank, was why did you volunteer to want me to have, be part of the feed? I was very curious about that.
So back when you were on my show,
Yeah.
and it's funny because we haven't even released the free version yet. The paid version,
Yeah.
the response was so overwhelming, and people had so many questions, and people come up to me, I don't know if they come up to you, but they come up to me
Yeah.
throughout the year. Even at the Cubs convention, people were still coming up to me talking about the episode, and I'm like, for season four, I wanted something different.
Right.
We only use Mondays. We have all the other days of the week that we pay for and that we're not using. Why not open it up to let staff do their shows? And I immediately thought of you because I follow you on social media, on Instagram,
Right.
and I see all your posts. I'm like, this should be a good topic. And he's good at speaking and talking. I love the accent. He doesn't think he has one, but I love the Alabama Southern
Yeah,
accent.
I think there's a
Like,
little twang left.
yes. And the accent is great on podcast, which is audio. So I'm like, let me see what he says. So.
Okay, that makes sense. I really appreciate that and giving me the space and opportunity for people to learn, and especially with, I think we're kind of getting to this culture where this gap of transitioned people or people in their transition and the media showing a lot of trans people being misconstrued, and kind of like the quote unquote men in dresses and actual men infiltrating, child spaces or, children's spaces, women's restrooms. And I think a lot of that is being misconstrued as opposed to trans people like me who actually went through, years of therapy in order to acquire hormone therapy letters and then actually got, the treatment for gender dysphoria and then, got where I am today. And I find it very disrespectful for people to assume that we are all in the same. So thank you for providing me the space to differentiate and giving people opportunity to learn.
And people heard the show and they're like, no, I really didn't even know he was trans. And it's funny because I'm like, he told me on the show, like he told me before I pushed the record button is when you told me. Like I had no idea
Right.
at all before I pushed record. And people were like, "Frank, did you know?" I'm like, "No." I'm like, it wasn't until I recorded the show that day. And even you, when you text me about the show here is to have questions in parentheses you put as a trans person, I found it laugh out loud okay because even at that moment. I'm like, who's the trans person? I'm like, I'm not trans. And I still don't see you like trans. I'm
Right.
like, oh, I forgot. So it's just interesting how I still, I don't know, I maybe because I'm just tolerant or I don't know what it is, but
Right.
when you text me the other day, I was shocked again that you were trans. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's talking about him, not me. So
How dare you be just affirming in somebody's gender? Yeah, I think a lot of that should be just, I don't know, just regular life. And that should be the regular activism with race. And I don't find a lot of that. I think media has portrayed us to be hated and just this monster. And I think that's the difference that I've seen in the last, like, because I've been transitioning for 17 years, and as a 36-year-old millennial,
You're 36.
I'm
You're
36.
25.
Exactly. And I think that's a lot of the reason people shame of the things that I know. And I catch that a lot in the ballpark. I've been told several times by guests, even without calling, supervisors or leads, that I'm too young or I'm not old enough or whatever. I get that a lot. And I've seen a lot of things in the time that I've been alive, especially with people who are transitioning and coming and going. And I know the people who have, the authenticity and who have the means to want to make this community, you know, what it is,
right,
and truly get rid of their gender dysphoria, such as myself. Like, did you wake up one day and just know you're left-handed or right-handed, Frank? I mean, did you?
No.
Like, I mean, you just figured it out, right? And that's how being trans is. You know.
Well, actually, you know, people. Well, you figure it out because people tell you this is what's supposed to be. This is your right hand and this is your left hand. So you go.
You naturally just
whatever they tell you. Oh, that makes sense. So you just follow it. Yeah.
Right. I think you just naturally, like if you shoot a basketball when you're 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
And then it feels unnatural. And then, you know, at every point from there, if somebody's telling you, you know, you're right-handed, but you don't, it doesn't feel natural to you. And that's what kind of being trans is to me. It's just.
Good analogy.
Yeah. It just doesn't fit. Yeah.
Good analogy.
It doesn't feel right. And the same thing I can tell to like gay people is it, I don't know. I had a very good point with this. I don't quite remember, but, like, I wanted to ask you another question, Frank. Like, being a man, what does masculinity mean to you?
Ooh, that's a good...
From somebody who's born male.
I heard this good topic, because I was talking to a friend of mine who's religious, and we were talking about toxic masculinity. We're talking about that. We're going over that later. Is that real? Is that not real?
Mm-hmm.
We discussed that, and we went back and forth on that, but we never discussed, like, masculinity. What is it? We talked about what makes it toxic. That's a good question. Like, what would you define masculinity as? Because I guess if a person nowadays, a man was to go out nowadays with a pink shirt on, people would say he's effeminate or not
right
masculine. But does that shirt, the color of that shirt, define masculinity? So
exactly,
I don't know that. What is the? I guess everybody has their own definition. I don't know. That's a good question. What is the definition? Exactly. What is the? I don't know.
and if you ask a lot of different people, their questioning of masculinity is different. See, my determination of masculinity is treating women with respect, treating all people with respect. I feel like that's the most masculine thing you can do.
And this was the 50s. They would say. Breadwinner.
Exactly.
Which is the 50s. They would say breadwinner. You know, they would say head of household. They would say.
Oh, mine or coal, mine.
Yeah. Like, so, and it changes over. Yeah. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
To me, yeah. Masculine doesn't mean like don't paint your nails and
right.
go lift heavy items without using your knees. You know, like that's not masculine to me. Like masculine is like treating your wife with the most utmost respect.
Right.
You know, that's masculine to me. So the definition of masculinity is just evolving over time, like you said.
But I think it's also contradictory. Is that a word?
Yeah, absolutely.
Word. Because, and it's funny because I see people on social media that post, I used to mentor young people. So I have a lot of young people that on my page that I've mentored.
Of course.
Who talk about, they're down the streets, talk about what's masculine, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they love them some LeBron James, who... They would, if it was not LeBron James wearing what he was wearing, they would call that person effeminate or not masculine.
Exactly.
But because of LeBron James wearing the tightly fitted clothes with the man bags and whatever, it's okay. Because
he's a big basketball player, right?
But these same people will go out and jump somebody on the street for wearing the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I also think that it's, you know, even with the Cubs sometimes, you see the Cubs when they're in the locker room and they're leaving to go on the road trip. They dress in ways that you would think that some of the men in the bleachers would be like, why are they wearing that?
Right.
But
they glorify these.
They're okay with it because it's the Cubs that are wearing it. Right. You on the street, though, you can't wear that because that's considered effeminate. So I think it's contradictory. Because we don't know. True. And it's that way because we don't really know. We have different definitions of what it is.
And fashion over time kind of, you know, clothing has changed. Yeah. You know, and high heels initially were made for men. So. Yeah. You know, and pants are getting tighter for men. And even I, as a trans man, I'm like, and from the South, I wear very different, like, boot cut jeans. And I'm like, these men here in Chicago are wearing super tight jeans or pants around here in Wrigleyville. Yeah. I'm like, Lord. And I want them because they're really fashionable.
Right. But
these are straight men. And I'm like, good. I'm out of touch with reality because I'm not wearing the right stuff.
Right.
So it's just fashion designs are really changing over time. I just find that really interesting. But. So I don't know. The point of judgment and putting anybody in a box is useless in my opinion. So I don't know. Masculinity is just so different. But speaking of, like, where did you grow up, Frank? Where did you grow up?
I grew up on the west side of Chicago.
Okay.
In what is considered like Cape Town. Went to an all, I was a Catholic school for 8 years though. So I grew up in with nuns and priests raising me for like 8 years.
Goodness.
Went from there when I went to the north side with Atlanta Tech. But I grew up on the west side, Catholic school. Grew up in the church family. They said I was from the hospital when I was born, at the church. My grandmother took me there all the time.
Wow.
And I've been there ever since. So I grew up on the west side of Chicago. It was not as bad as people say or think that it is like now. I came to the Cubs when I was 16. I was still a baby basically.
Yeah,
the Cubs at 16, but
you're a Cub.
You say West Side now, people are scared, but back then on the West Side, it was the West Side,
right? So how do you differentiate that from like other people's upbringing compared to like what you know, like compared to like your peers? Have they said it was drastically different from what you know?
I think back then there were gangs, obviously, and there was poverty, obviously.
Right. That'll
but
always exist.
You sort of, and it's going to sound weird, but it's true. I'll use myself as an example. People knew that I went to Catholic school, my cousins and aunts, my cousins, not aunts, but they went to Catholic school with uniforms on.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in the neighborhood, they were in gangs or whatever. They sort of protected and took care of us because they wanted us to become something. They saw that we were in school and trying to become something to an extent.
Okay.
Some people that saw especially black young men reading books on the porch or the stairs, that's gay. Oh, who reads books? We don't read books.
Yeah.
That's not what we do. So you have that element too, obviously. But most of the people, I would say, in the neighborhood, they're in gangs. Like, yeah, they would tell other people, hey, they're off limits. Not just us, but anybody that was doing good in school. These kids here, they're off limits.
Interesting.
Your beef is with us and, you know, fighting with each other.
Okay.
Nowadays, though, I feel like this new generation of it's just sort of guns are everywhere. Like, guns are, you just shoot, you aim, and you drive by. I don't remember hearing about drive-bys like I do now as much. Things back then were targeted, you know.
Right.
It's still somebody dying. I'm sorry about that. But it was more targeted. Mm-hmm. It wasn't these random just shootings here and then downtown and over there. Like, it just wasn't. I wasn't scared to go outside. My parents weren't scared to let me go outside at all.
Right.
But like now, I would never let my little cousin go outside, like without anything out there. So that's the big difference, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with modern technology and you know, knowing where people are at all times and this and that and the third.
And also, my parents, my parents from the south, from Arkansas. My family's from Arkansas.
Oh,
from the south, so they're not afraid to get the switch if they need to get the switch from the backyard. So you know, they got it from the south,
right?
So in my family, you know, there was discipline, boy. I mean, hey, you need to be on this porch when the street light goes out.
That's it.
So I can see you. If not, so there was that discipline there.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, I don't really think you see that type of, you know, now you can go to jail for hitting a kid with a switch now, but it was different back then, boy. I mean, you did not want to have to go get the switch from the backyard.
Yeah.
You have to pick your own switch that you had to go back in. Yeah. So that Southern style of raising kids up here kept us in line.
Yep. I was raised the same way, like with a belt and all that jazz. And I wholeheartedly don't agree with that now because same way as like if your words don't work, like I would never hit you, Frank.
Right.
Like if our words aren't working, I'm not going to hit you. And like the same way with a child, if our words aren't working and they don't understand, like I'm not going to hit somebody who's just, you know, defenseless. So, and I understand that as a grown person now, but it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of growing out of that mentality.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of like evolving into like a full-fledged human, therapy, this and that, the other.
Yeah.
And, but I think a lot of it is social media.
Yeah.
But another thing I was just discussing with somebody was kind of just, if you want to be upset about something too, you can just, like back in the day, if you wanted to get upset with somebody, you can just go to Arkansas 13 miles later, then you go tell them the bad news.
Yeah.
You know, now if you want to find something to be upset about, you can be upset.
And no matter what you're upset about, you can find somebody who's able to agree with you, even if you're wrong.
Exactly.
Somebody will enable you.
Exactly.
And nobody's going to sit there and be like, it's funny, cause this is my resolution this year, not to be this person. But nobody's going to be able to say, it's kind of your fault. Like, you should.
Right, right.
Like, this is a result of A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you will find somebody who right. will, you know,
it's
will enable
a snowball you. Effect. Yeah. Especially yeah. on the internet.
Yeah.
And that is, it's a terrible thing. Same as you. I'm trying to stay away from that. And same with the people of negativity, the yeah. people of agreeance. I'm trying to stay away from that as well, because those people like hype you up to yeah. kind of be the most. I'm trying to find a state of even keel yeah. of being myself, being my authentic self, because that's kind of who I've always wanted to be. And you say, you know, oh, I didn't know you were trans, and you look, you know, not that you never said this, but a lot of people come up to me, and even my mom, like, you look so great, blah, 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 and I don't like that necessarily, because the point for trans people is not to look cisgender, which, if, I don't know if you know what that means, yeah. but it means you're not trans. Right. It's just an adjective to describe, like, the small man, or the big woman, or the fast woman, the slow man, right. you know, cisgender means just not trans. So the goal for me as a trans person is not to look more masculine. It was just for me to look in the mirror. And this is just kind of the guy I always saw.
Right.
I don't know how to explain that. Just as a young person, just as a androgynous person, I just always looked in the mirror and just saw this beard. Right. And just saw this masculinity. I never looked to look this way for other people. It was just right. kind of this way for me. Excuse me. So I think society has it out to think that all trans people want to look from, you know, they want to go from this female to male side so drastically, you know, and from this, you know, one end to the other. But that's not the case. You know, people want to just affirm their gender however they may do it, and they may just socially transition, or they may legally transition,
yeah.
or sometimes they just medically may transition.
Right.
So all trans people aren't the same, and I think that's a lot of the misconception for a lot of folks. But I wanted to know, do you know if you've ever met a trans person?
Oh yeah. So last season at Wrigley we had three at Wrigley last season, mm-hmm. right? Before 2 years ago, we had, I hate to sound like I'm saying like that's something different, but, mm-hmm. In my tenure in the last, as a supervisor, at least, that I know of, at least six that I know of,
lovely.
One that didn't end well, that person, you know, quitting and that didn't end well.
People are just regular people, and that's what I love. Sometimes yes. you get canned, or sometimes you just got to take the high.
Yes. but no, yeah, I mean, especially at Wrigley, but outside of Wrigley. Mm-hmm. So one year I was actually on, so the Cubs have a float every year at the Pride Parade. I did the float 1 year, me and mm-hmm. I think Stanley supervisor, some other male supervisors, we actually did the Pride Parade float. At Wrigley, so obviously I've been around them, obviously. But as far as Wrigley Phil, mm-hmm. yeah, at least six last 3 to 4 seasons, at least three. Didn't know any of them were until they told me. But yes,
mm-hmm.
yes,
great.
Yes.
And that's what I love, that some people are willing, you know, to tell you and be honest and not honest, because obviously trans people don't have to say anything, and we are honest regardless of telling right. you or not, because. But they're willing to tell you who right. they are, and, you know, and I was able to tell you, and I feel, you know, some people that I do tell, for instance, you know, Dave at the ballpark, the security guy, he dates,
yes.
I told him the other day, and I left his jaw dropped, but, okay. and I
dropped because he was like,
well, he was willing to help me with something regarding the VA, and he was so surprised that the VA don't okay. help trans people.
Okay.
I'm just one of the guys.
Is it a federal?
I'm sorry?
Isn't the VA federal?
Yes, but the fact that I'm one of the few people that just slips through the cracks because just Donald Trump and the VA everything,
okay.
you know, regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and okay. the few of us that just get, you know, it's okay. just that little bit of sprinkle. And he was just so surprised.
Okay.
And I just really blow people's minds. I don't mean to. Mm. It's just... sometimes I wish I could be a fly on that other wall, you know,
okay.
just, because sometimes trans people come out to me and I'm just like, holy shit, this person's trans, you know? Right. But it's just, that's how I want society to be.
Right.
Like, I want you to tell me you're black and I'm like, what? You know, right. That's how trans people should be.
Right.
You know, kind of like how you said, it's literally how it should be. It should be just a conversation like, yeah, what?
Okay.
Because that's how the conversation is to me when I talk to younger people.
Right.
Like, really younger people. I'm like, I'll tell them, like, I'm trans, and they're just like, huh, okay.
Yeah, I think the younger generation gets it.
They get it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'll tell them I'm trans, and yeah, they just literally like, oh, like, like you be telling me, like, you're black.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the younger you are. I think the younger you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they literally take it like I'm telling them, like, the color of my skin, and just like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, this is how every conversation should be.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, as a 36-year-old man, I really feel more progressive than I am or than I should be, because sometimes I feel like even people in their 20s aren't with it. I'm like, come on, guys, like, we got to get with it because the world is changing.
Right.
And the things that my parents, a boomer and a generation, is it alpha? Somebody born in 65, I don't know. But that generation is really, they're not learning it, and they've taught us some really nasty things that we have got to unlearn.
Yes, and you can see that in our older politicians. You can hear it and what they care about and what they talk about. You can tell, like, God, you're like, you know, God, you know, it makes you want to push for term limits. Like, you're so behind the times. It's like, you're representing us.
You saw the tic-tac-toe video, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Although, I like that though. I liked it though when I saw it. It was Nancy Pelosi, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Nancy.
So I liked that though because she's from San Francisco. If anybody.
Oh, she's from San Francisco?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's from San Francisco. If anybody is progressive or had the pulse of what's going on, it's the city of San Francisco, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And she represented them for years. She wasn't in the landslide, whatever. But my point is that what she was saying, it wasn't intended for us, me and you.
Yeah.
It was intended for the Mitch McConnells and it was intended for them.
Yeah, the walking corpses.
Right. So she wasn't necessarily doing that for us. That she was the people in the room.
Right.
They got that reference.
Yeah.
We thought it was funny or whatever. So
yeah.
So but yes,
we understand because we're literally 60 years younger than she is.
Yeah. That was for the people in the room.
Mm-hmm. What I think a lot of that ban is about is just because, like I said, when we want to see something to be upset about, we just back in the day, you know, we just have to go down the street to find like this way. We just spread information. Spread information so quickly, and that's why I think they're trying to ban the app or whatever.
But my question is, what is it? They take action quickly. What is more dangerous, TikTok or guns? And my thing is that we can do everything on the outside except for things in the middle that matter.
Right.
Everything else can be done quickly. Boom, 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 boom. TikTok, got to get rid of it. But why is TikTok more dangerous than guns?
I think a lot of what they're banning TikTok for right now is because of the genocide that's happening.
Okay.
Is because, just from my personal opinion and having a bit of time off from the Cubs, and I've been to several protests for Palestine, is because I'm going on there, and with my feed and the algorithm the way it is, I think a lot of the people from Palestine are going live, and people are seeing that, and I think that's why they're trying to ban TikTok.
Okay, that's possible. I personally don't trust China. I mean, I will say this. I do. I'm in that camp of, I also don't trust China.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
All that information, especially when I realized, and I have a friend actually who lives in China too.
Mm-hmm.
Their TikTok actually looks different than our TikTok.
Like, does it really?
Yes. There's certain things that they don't allow on the TikTok in China that they allow in the U.S.
The algorithm's different.
It is. And I'm just like, but, so I think there's a plethora of things. I just don't think that TikTok is more dangerous than guns. So that's just my...
Oh, no. Well, guns... Well, first of all, if...
My fans.
Certainly, I agree, because guns is the number one killer of children in America. And if Republicans, certainly, like all these people... And now I've realized that Democrats and Republicans, it's like a three-headed snake, because if they really cared about children, they would ban guns, right?
Or assault weapons,
or make them harder to acquire, because they, they're right. killing the children.
Yeah.
But obviously the app is more important. But it's all
Republicans, because Democrats were in power, had all three branches of government mm-hmm. at one point under Obama. I mean, what's their excuse?
That's true. That's true. However, I think it's just under Donald Trump, I think a lot of things just
changed. I just don't want to let them off the hook, because I mean,
oh, no.
They had all three houses of government. They could have passed a ban for 20 years, 30 years, 30 years, 40 years. I mean, it would have been repealed, which would not have happened, as we see, but...
That's true.
So I just think that both of them have... Of course, one side has way more,
culpability.
But,
sure.
I don't forgive them for not protecting Roe versus Wade and all that kind of thing when they have power. So
no, that's just disgusting.
Which is another story, but yeah.
No, yeah. No, if you have like sisters, mothers, like anybody in your life that's a woman or has a uterus, I think that's, I don't know. I've sat on that one for a while. And as a person who used to have a uterus, I mean, I can't believe I have to say that. And, you know, that thing's been gone somewhere, you know. But yeah, I find that so disgusting. Mm. I don't even know. Like, I don't even, like, that's almost for another episode, because I don't even know how to, I still don't even have words for it.
When people ask you those type of questions, when you bring up a uterus, and say, I used to have one, whatever, and people ask you those questions,
yeah,
how do you respond to those questions? Do you sit down and explain it to them, or do you just like, don't ask me that question? I'm just curious.
Like, if I've met the person, I don't mind ever, like, I mean, obviously, like, in depth, and I don't mind ever, like, informing knowledge, because I don't mind ever informing people, because I feel like knowledge is power. I feel like giving my friends the knowledge to inform others, and that being like a trickle effect is the most important way. And I feel like trans people sharing their stories and their knowledge is much more efficient, and it's much better as opposed to a cis person telling that story. And trans people exist way rarer than cis people. Like, there's less of us, obviously. Yeah. So I feel like if you're hearing it from the horse's mouth, is much better. So I don't mind. It's just a matter of you getting to know me, because a lot of people just feel privileged to know about my genitalia and know about like my life and my, you know, they feel so obligated to ask me about personal items, you know,
But it's because they are just, is it out of a negative concept, or is it out of them just curious as to wanting to know?
They're curious, but you know, when you're curious about something, there's Google.
Okay.
You know, so I.
But would you prefer, for example, would you prefer me go on Google and find out, or would you prefer me to ask you? I'm curious about.
I'm the same, you know, in the same way I said, you know, I can see where that looks contradictory, what I just said. I can roll that back.
No, I mean, no, I get it. People on levels.
Yeah.
There's certain folks ain't coming to my house. They're just not coming to my house at all.
That's what I realize. I'm looking around. I'm like, I am in Frank's house.
So I get it. There are levels. Some people are coming to my house. Some people are not coming to my house.
Yeah.
Right? So there are levels of it. I was just curious. Like, is that the same thing with you? Are there levels of people who could ask you anything because you know?
Oh, yeah.
They want to know to educate themselves? Or are you like, some people are like, no, dog, sorry. Like,
oh, well, yeah. Obviously, Frank, like, yeah, people like you. Yeah, but if like it's a complete stranger, then absolutely not. Yeah, friends, absolutely, I'd be willing to discuss something like that. If it's a coworker, just a coworker, no. Like if we're just shooting the shit at work, no. Somebody that I absolutely know, yes. If it's somebody that, God, like family members, I don't discuss that with them because they don't even know me. More times than not, when I'm asked those things, it's never by anybody I know.
Okay.
It's always by a stranger.
Right.
I don't know. And then some, like the intimate people, we're already in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, I never mind discussing anything with people because I'd rather them hear it from the horse's mouth.
Right.
You know, and I never mind, especially the older I get, is like sharing my experience. Yeah. Especially personally, because I want people to have the information.
Right.
It's so important, especially with like this whole, like I said at the beginning, is like this whole channel of misinformation and cis people just trying to go viral with their bullshit information or misinformation. It's just not right.
Right.
So I'd rather be the person to spread what's right.
Right.
I've been through it for 17 years and it's going to keep being every day from here on out for the rest of my life. I'm going through it. So anybody who's saying anything different is wrong, especially if you're like some random woman from the suburbs. Girl, you're not going through it.
Right.
Neither is your daughter who's freaking out.
Right.
You know? So, and if I can be the guy to shut down some random predator who's like literally just some cisgender man who's putting on a dress in order to show his privates in the bathroom, then I'm going to shut that shit down because that's not a trans person.
Right.
That's some creep. So I'm going to shut it down to make sure my community is represented well. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because those are not trans people.
Right.
I'm a trans person. So those people are like misrepresenting us in the news, and I don't appreciate it. The trans community doesn't appreciate it. And I think that narrative is just being pushed on like Fox News, OAN, blah, 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 whatever it has you. But I feel like that's why you giving me the space and like time for this podcast. And I don't know, genuinely just sitting down and having these conversations that show that trans people are normal. Like we walk among you. And like, and I said, like, you know, have you met somebody like, six or so, you know, that have talked to you and told you, but I mean, who knows?
That's a good name. Podcast title. Not sure. I'm just in general. Like,
yeah.
We walk among you. A good title.
But, yeah. Yeah. But it's just true.
Yeah.
And I've met lots of trans people coming out to me and like, holy shit, you know, I didn't even know, you know?
Right.
And so I appreciate the space, man. I really do.
If I'm on your show, I don't even know the show title. What is the? I know you were going back and forth on the title of this show.
Oh, it's Transcend with Tyler.
Ooh,
yeah,
I like that.
Nothing
wrong with that because I was no help at all. You asked me for some tips. I was no help at all when it comes to
that. I was gonna see like, I was going through a couple. I don't know. I was just trying to come up with something like above the realm because I find like being trans is like two spirit, almost kind of like almost like above something. And so I was like trans, but I wanted to have trans in the name, so I was like transcending. I felt like it was a good word.
Okay.
So I didn't want to have ing in it, so I just knocked it down to transcend.
Okay.
And I was like with the other. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I really enjoy it. But yeah, well, I guess that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed talking to Frank. Yeah, he's one of the best guys I find at the ballpark. He's really genuine. And
am I really?
He really is. And he's a goofball. And I find that he's very shy. He's very misunderstood right off the get-go, like I am.
I am. People say I'm so mean at everything. Like, when I first met you, Frank, I thought you were so mean. You were tough.
Yeah.
And I got to know you, like, oh, you're not mean at all. Like, no, yeah. No, I'm just traditional.
Yeah. People get that off me, too. Okay. Yeah. And I feel the same way. So.
Yes.
Thank you, Frank. I really appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and hopefully we'll have him on again. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.